I asked Pastor if I could talk to you today and share with you my story and my walk that I have gone through with God. Okay. He generally says, if you're going to meet somebody on the street, try to keep it within a minute or so. Okay, well, my story is not a minute, so please bear with me. I can sum it up in a minute for you. It's plain and simple. I was raised in a family in the Midwest, grew up in a happy home. I was well protected, very naive. When I was little, I craved Jesus. I went to church. I went through a lot of procedures. Then I became a teenager, became obstinate, defiant, decided I was going to live my own life, joined the military, and I went off on my own. Found myself in a lot of trouble. Not bad trouble where I got in trouble with the jails or anything like that, but I caused myself pain, I caused others pain. And then one day I said, that's enough. And I asked God to help me get out of it, and he has. So, if you'll let me elaborate more on that, let's start back at the part of where that, when I was a happy child. Okay, like I said, I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in Missouri. My dad's parents were a big part of my life. They were my rescue in a lot of ways. They took me down to the lake. They took me to go bowling. They helped me be able to get a lot of things that I wanted that my parents weren't able to. My parents weren't very well at maintaining their finances. So a lot of times, Grandma and Grandpa bailed us out. But my mom and dad was always there for me. My dad grew up where that his dad told him that he was not much of a man and he wasn't a very good father or a very good husband. And my dad, he went through a depression because of that. And he would go off and play with the boys, you know, go out, have a day with the boys, play sports or whatever. And I craved to be around my dad. So I followed. I got involved in sports. I learned how to work on cars. You know, I was the ultimate tomboy. My mom, she grew up in a home where that she was abused. Her mom had a mental condition. And my mom, from the time that her little sisters were born, was responsible for them. And if anything happened, went wrong, they were not the perfect family. My mom would go to bed at night, and she never knew if my grandma was going to come in and tie her down to the bed and beat her. And I'm not talking about, you know, a couple of swats. She took a belt, she took a rope, whatever she had, and literally beat her. So my mom swore up and down she would take better care of us kids. There's only me and my sister. Our family grew with my cousins. There was a time in my life that I helped raise them. Beyond that, when I was little, my mom and dad took us to church. And I loved Sunday school. It was so great to be a kid because you go, you learn the stories about Jesus. You get to do little artsy, craftsy things. But a lot of those stories I remembered, and a lot of those arts and craft things, I found out my mom still has them. And she sent some of them to me. And, you know, it's amazing what you can learn as a child. So when I was 7, I got bold and I told my mom and dad I wanted to be baptized. And my mom and dad's like, okay, well, we'll talk about it. And we'll talk to the pastor about it. So we went and had a meeting with the pastor. And he said that normally doesn't baptize somebody that young. And he asked me a bunch of questions. And in the process of asking me those questions, he told me that he could not find a reason why he baptized me. So I was like, hey. So my mom and dad, a couple weeks later, they took me to church. I was baptized. And now I'm ready to go because I'm following Jesus. I'm going to do what he's done. And I started getting involved with my parents in Bible studies. I started doing some of the teenager classes that they had. And one of the classes that we had was learning about evangelism. Now, I had a small problem with that. Because they forced down our throat, telling us that you have to memorize the verse John 3:16. I don't like to memorize things. And I don't like having to go up to somebody and tell them, you should love God because he loved you, and this is what he did. Okay, wait a minute. I'm on fire for Jesus, but I don't want to go tell somebody that. Okay? Took me a long time to realize what that story meant. Okay? So like I said, I went to a lot of classes and stuff. And there was a study group that we did about the Holy Spirit. So when I was 13, once again, I got bold and I asked if I could be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the group prayed for me that night. And that made some changes in my life. The pastor that we had at the time, he took in, he made a big difference for me. Because we're at the church that I grew up in. Sorry for all the creaking. The church that I grew up in, it was very staunch. And what I mean by staunch, everything was followed by the rules. Okay? And to give you an example of following the rules, the first verse that we have is Proverbs 13:24. Okay? It says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who knows him is careful to discipline him." Or I'm sorry, "but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." So my dad and my mom were made to maintain that me and my sister behaved ourselves in the church. Girls were to wear dresses, boys in pants, white shirt, tie. And when you went outside to play, the boys were allowed to play the boy games. Girls, you can play hopscotch and you can swing on the swing. Because you had a dress on. I didn't like that. I don't like dresses, as you can tell. Okay. So my dad was a deacon in the church. Okay. And I never quite understood what that meant. The next verse that we have is 1 Timothy 3:8-13. It says, "Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well." Make sure your kids mind. That's what the church told my parents. Make sure your kids mind. "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." So my dad, he craved this recognition. So when us kids would sit in the back of the church and we would misbehave, and then my mom and dad was told, "Take your kids downstairs. Keep them down there. They're not allowed up here." That broke my dad's heart. And when my dad's heart broke, I felt bad because I did something to hurt him. What did I do wrong? I was being a kid. Okay. So where does this all have to do with me being baptized at 7, baptized in the Holy Spirit at 13? Trying to fit in a mold that somebody sets for you and tells you this is how you're supposed to be, but yet you have the conviction of God that this is what you're supposed to do. Those don't match. So where does my pastor meet into this? My pastor, I went to him one time and I said, "So why is it that the scripture says this? You tell me this. What is right, what is wrong?" And he says, "I'm going to tell you this." He goes, "Scriptures is God's word translated in man's language." Okay? You want to know the truth of the scriptures? Ask God. God will convict you and tell you what the truth of the scripture is. That was a door open for me. I questioned a lot of things. In the process of questioning a lot of those things, I found out some answers that I was looking for. And I got more bold. When I was 9 years old, okay, just real quick sidestep here. When I was 9 years old, I knew that I liked girls. Okay. Boys were my friends and they were fun to beat up on. So, but I didn't know I was gay. And so that was never a question, never an issue for me. I was a kid. Okay. When I was 15, I got involved with the Youth for Christ. Now, in Kansas City, Missouri, that was a big movement. On Saturday nights, we had our own worship service. Whole bunch of us from the whole Kansas City area would get on buses and meet at one place. And we would go, and we would have worship service. We got to sing all the popular new Christian songs. We got to listen to Christian rap songs. We got to have all kinds of fun. And then the pastor got up there, and he talked. And he talked about issues that we had. You know, how do you deal with another kid that is mean and rude? How do you deal with a boyfriend or a girlfriend? How do you deal with your mom and dad coming down on you all the time because you can't do what you want to do? So it was a release. There was skits. It was geared down to a kid's level so that a child could understand what God was trying to explain to them. When I was 16, things changed. My parents, they didn't like the high school that I was in. It was a high school that my dad grew up in 20 years ago, before me. And things had changed. We had security guards going up and down the campus. Okay. My sister was getting in trouble with some kids because the kids, they did things that they weren't supposed to, and just because she hung out with them. So my parents moved out to the country. So we move. There was a boy who lived down the street. His family had, they were in the process of kicking him out. His little sister accused him of molesting her. And I'm thinking, great, this guy's living with us. Needless to say, that was not a good experience. My aunt, my mom's youngest sister, she had went through some issues of her own. And she would bring her kids to us for us to take care of on and off at times. So here I was, a teenager. I'm helping raise three of my little cousins. I'm helping with a farm that I did not ask for. I'm helping with chores and things that needs to be done. And I'm still having to go to school. And I'm starting to feel the pressure. And I don't like it. I don't like that my dad drives an hour to work. I don't like that when his car breaks down, he gets stuck in the city, and I'm stuck helping my mom. And I start to get resentful. Now, when I was 18, I joined the military. I'm grown. I'm big. I originally went to go join the Air Force. They wouldn't let me fly airplanes because of my eyesight. I said, okay, Daddy and Grandpa was in the Army. It's good enough for me. I'll go too. So I go join the Army. I'm real smart too. I joined the Army Reserves. So when I take and I join the military, there's one thing about the military. They like to break you down. You're no longer an individual. You become part of a unit, part of a group. Okay? And tell you exactly what my instructor had told me. Bear with me a moment. He told 60 of us females that we no longer have a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, a brother, a sister, a cousin, aunts, or uncles. Our family does not exist. He proceeded to tell us that if we wanted to live, that we needed to get any notions of ourselves, our previous life, or anything that we had before out of our heads and learn to listen to him, or we would be dead in a blink of an eye. Now, that's kind of harsh, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, what did I just get into? I just signed my life away to somebody who's going to tell me that I don't exist, I don't matter, and anything that I did before does not matter. And if I want to live, I better listen to him. And they were not nice. They were a lot nicer to me than everybody who went into the military before me. My point being with this is that during that time, I did learn that. I learned that I did not exist. I became part of what they call the lean, mean, green fighting machine. What goes on around you affects everybody. What you do affects everybody. You have a grenade in your hand. You're going to throw it. You better throw it. Don't drop it, because anybody who's within a certain parameter around you and you are going to be hurt. You're firing a weapon. Make sure you're aiming in the direction of the enemy. Don't point in the direction of somebody else. You know? So they taught us these things. And now I'm finding myself where that I'm not liking life. I'm not liking what's going on around me. So I come home. I'm in the reserves. I'm all grown. Living with grandma and grandpa. And I start dating my aunt's best friend's son. Okay? Remember I told you I like girls? Yeah. Trying to fit into what I thought was the mold of what my family expected of me. So I dated him for a while. He goes off to college, discovers life. He's afraid that I'm going to try to get pregnant to keep him. Bye. I want kids, but I don't want them that bad. Bye. So then I dated this other guy. My dad liked him a lot. He had the same first name as my dad. I thought he was a geek. But he was a good friend. I'd known him since I was 18. And we didn't start dating until I was about almost 21. Okay? That lasted for a short period of time. His mom and daddy thought I wasn't girly enough for him. Then I dated this other guy that was in my reserve unit. And he was a little too overconfident with himself. What I would, please take no offense, but what at that time I would call a typical male. I've learned a lot different. So anyways, I got tired of him, and I met this one lady in my reserve unit, and we took and we were talking and stuff. And she invited me out to her house one time. And so I was out there, and it was on a Sunday. In Missouri, there's no alcohol sold in the stores or the liquor stores on Sunday. Well, her friend was drinking Jack Daniels, and it was gone, whole fifth. And we wanted more alcohol. So we take and we go down to this one little bar that does sell alcohol on Sunday. And lo and behold, it's a gay bar. I'm like, cool. So she introduced me to the gay community, and I ran off with it. So first person or first female that I got involved with, she was 18 years older than me. And I was her little Barbie doll. And I wore nice, girly, frilly shirts, slacks. I carried a purse, curled my hair, put on makeup. And it did not take me long to discover I did not like being a Barbie doll. I do not like being on somebody's arm, toted around. Yes, I was her little bracelet. I was 22 and she was 40. So here I am. I'm all grown. I'm living my life. I'm doing what I want to do. Find a lot of things I don't like. Okay? Me and her break up. Next girlfriend that I have. She was a year younger than me. This is when Daddy finds out that I'm gay. Daddy came to me, looked me dead in the face. And he says, so talk to your mom, and she told me if I wanted to find out, I have to ask you myself. And I'm like, okay, what's that, Dad? Are you gay? Yes, Dad. Oh, I thought so. What do you mean? I'm like, what do you mean, Dad? And he's like, well, look at the way you dress. You got your hair cut short, you're wearing flannel shirts, blue jeans, tennis shoes. I'm like, Dad, I've wore this before. I'd already cut my hair short, like almost a flat top, when I was dating my aunt's best friend's son. So nothing really changed other than now my dad's realizing I have a girl that I'm hanging out with instead of boys. Okay. Now, please bear with me and forgive me for the next thing I'm going to say, but I'm going to repeat my dad word for word. Okay. He tells me how my life now is against the Bible and I'm going to go to hell. And his next exact statement was, "So who's the bitch and who's the bastard?" And I'm looking at him and I'm shocked that he says this. My only instinct is to double up both my fists beside my side, and I lock up and I'm looking at him like, "What?" And he goes, "Well, they say, you know, in a gay relationship, one's the girl, one's the guy. So which are you?" I'm like, "I'm neither. I'm me. I am still me, who I was." Then he proceeds to tell me that I'm still his daughter and he still loves me. And I'm like, "Okay, whatever." So my dad, remember I told you he had his own issues and stuff? So he dealt with that, and he still had a hard time with that for the longest time. My dad used to tell me, "I'm praying for you, kid. I'm praying for you." And I would get so mad at him. Oh, I hated him for praying for me. Okay? So where I'm going with this now is we're going to talk about my anger issues. Okay? This is something I really don't like to talk about. So please take consideration on this. Okay? We're going to go back a minute. When I was 18, I took and went to one of our evening church services, and we had a missionary who came to church, and our church had been helping her out. I don't know if you guys know this lady or not. Her name's Nora Lam, and she was from China, and she was smuggling Bibles back into China to get the word out to her people. Okay. Remember I told you back during that time of my life I was so on fire for God? Okay. So I was so on fire at that time. I swore him down. I'm going on that mission with her. I'm going to go and share the word with the Chinese people. Well, at the end of the service, she calls those who want to participate forward. And she said that she wanted to pray over. So she's going down the line praying for each individual person. And she gets to me and she tells me that I'm not to go. I'm like, "What?" She goes, "I'm sorry, you're not to go. You're here to teach your people." Okay, did you guys hear what I just said? "You are to stay here and teach your people." You want to know what I heard? "You're not going." Know what I said? "To hell with her and to hell with God." My heart changed in that flip of a second. Did she do anything wrong? No. Did God do anything wrong? No. Did I do something wrong? Oh, yeah. I said, "I'm not liking what I'm hearing." I was a teenager, and I was acting like a teenager. "I'm going to do what I want to do." So like I said, I joined the military, find out about the gay community. When I was 23, I took and I decided, okay, I'm tired of the reserves. Desert Shield had hit. Now I'm going to go active duty. Okay. If I'm going to get yelled at, I might as well get paid full time for getting yelled at. So I go active duty. And while I'm active duty, things get worse. You know, now you have somebody constantly every day just jumping on you. Boots aren't shined. Uniform's not pressed. You're supposed to be here at this time. Supposed to be here at this time. We're going for a 6-mile run. You're going to do push-ups today. Well, I don't like your attitude. You know? So I'm finding myself on a downcline instead of an upcline. I get stationed into Hawaii. Good place to be. It's also a good place to find trouble, too. Because over there, on the weekends, their bars stay open later. And I can tell you about them bars. Friday night, as soon as work is over with, I'm on the bus, I'm downtown. Stay there until the bar closes. Okay? If I don't have a ride back, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm catching the bus going back. Go get a few hours sleep, back on the bus, go back down, stay down there all night, Saturday night, Sunday morning coming back. Same thing on Sunday. The only time that it was different was when my friends wanted to go to the beach or if we had something going on and we wanted to do something different. Now, at the bars, what I found was other nice young little girls, and I call them little girls because they were very just as naive or mischievous as I was. Some of those turned into one-night stands. Some of them were relationships I got into, and in the process, they were involved with somebody else back home, and I helped destroy those relationships. Now, am I totally to blame? No. But once I knew that there was somebody else, that's where I made the choice to continue doing what I was doing. Okay. So I spend my time in Hawaii. While I'm there, I go to aerosol school. I tear up my shoulder. And then I find myself being kicked out of the military. Well, now I'm mad at the military, you know? Here I am. I've done all these things for them. What are they doing for me? They're kicking me out. They won't even let me go back to the reserves. So I'm getting angrier and angrier. And I'm taking my anger out on people. Okay? So I leave the military. I move in with an ex. Please don't do that. Okay, so I move in with my ex. And for 2 years, we live together. And once again, we both cause each other misery. In fact, we got involved with the same person who met us at the same time and told us both to our faces, if you will allow me, I will play you both. My attitude was, who cares? This is fun. Let's go for it. Okay? So that lasted for a while. Of course, that didn't turn out very well. I destroyed a friendship over that. Then I get involved with another young lady where that she was involved with somebody, but she was unhappy with that person, and I became the little side dish. And it took me a couple months to wake up and realize and say, if you love her so much, why are you playing with me? I'm okay if you play with me. You know, that's fine. I'm not looking for something. But if you really say that you love her, why are you playing with me? Now I'm getting mad at her because she can't answer me. Okay? We break that off. And then I meet my ex-wife. I thought she was the best thing in the world. 6 foot something. Cute. Skinny. Fit most of the bill of what I thought was my ideal person. I only saw the outside. I didn't see the inside. Okay. So we get married. And at this time, I really hadn't been going to church. I mean, occasionally when I was in the military, I'd go to church just to get out of details. Okay. It's how you get out of chores. You go to church. Okay. Well, for me to marry her, we had to go to church. So for about 2 months, I went to church. I was a good little girl. Then we get married. And then within our first year, she's tired of me. Okay? Now, I'm not blaming her because I'm not innocent here. Far from it. All right? So, long story short, she gets involved with other people. Now I'm on a vengeance. Okay? I'm going to hold her to her vows. You promised me you're going to honor me. You promised me you're going to do this. How dare you play with these other people? Okay? Do you guys hear my anger that is building here? Okay? So in the process of all this anger, I take revenge. I'm calling her mommy. I'm in my 30s. I'm calling her mommy to tell her mommy how she's misbehaving. What age does that sound like? 5, 6, 7, 8? Okay. Not only have I taken it that far, but when we move out here to Utah, because we were living in Arizona, we move out here to Utah to be close to her family, things started to kind of work out a little bit. And then she meets a young lady online, and she really likes her, but she still wants me to stick around. Well, now I'm calling this young lady's mama, because this girl is 18 years younger than me. I'm calling her mama to tell her what my ex is doing. Okay? The reason why I'm telling you guys these things is sometimes when we feel hurt, we retaliate. And when we retaliate, we don't see how far we're pushing it. It took me years after what I had done to realize how far I had pushed. Not only what she'd done, but what my fault was in it. Because here I am. I'm not showing her a reason why she should love me. I'm not showing her that I love her. I'm causing issues instead of getting out of an issue. Okay? So by this time, I'm in school. I'm going to college. I've gone to the VA to get some help. They find out that I have ADHD with a reading disability. So they tell me I need to take some medicine so I can get through school for them to pay for it. And they find out that I'm several different levels of depressive. Okay? When you dig a hole, you don't see light. And I dug a hole deep. And I was getting tired of it. And I was hurting. And I got to the point that I had blinders on. And all I see what was in front of me. School. I need a job. By this time, I started bartending at night. Okay. Another story there. You don't feed somebody else their issues when you're trying to get out of your own issues. Okay? Because I wasn't helping them. I was feeding them. Giving them more alcohol. Okay? But like I said, finally I got to the point that I had enough. And I was done. And I was tired. And by this time, I finally told God, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to be involved with anybody. I just want to live the rest of my life by myself. I don't want to have to do anything. But if you ask me to do something, I'll do it. Can you just please get me out of this? Because I'm living in the house with my ex-wife and her little girlfriend. I'm going to school. I'm messing up in school. I have no friends. And I'm mad. But now I'm mad at me. Okay? So one of the ladies that I knew at the place I was bartending, she was an apartment manager. And she was able to help me get an apartment. Well, by this time I met Jessie, my current wife, up at the school. And she had only, I mean, other than going to the cafeteria and buying something, she's there with her big old smile. She took in, one time she asked me, you want to go swimming? Me and a bunch of friends, a whole bunch of us chicks, we're going to go swimming. I'm blind, I don't catch it. Not until I get home, I'm like, wait a minute, did I just get hit up on? Okay. So, but I really didn't think anything about it. And then next week I went back and I told her, I said, if you know of anybody who could possibly help me move, I'm moving this next weekend. Here's the address where I'm moving to. If you could have them show up, here's my number. I just need help unloading stuff into the apartment. Her and her son shows up and they help me. And then she started talking to me and stuff and asking me if I'd like to go to church. Church? I haven't done church in a long time. I haven't found a church that I like, not one that can meet my needs. One Sunday, I finally said, can I go to church with you? And I came to church here. And when I walked in the door and I listened to the sermon and stuff, I'm like, this is home. This is what I grew up in. This is what I know. This is comfortable. So I started coming to church with her regularly. So we start dating. Remember I told you I don't want to be involved with nobody else? Start dating her. And then there was one Sunday we came up here for prayer. And the person who was praying over us, they looked at me and they said, how is it that you know me but you don't know me? I'm like, what? How is it that you know me but you don't know me? And then they said, God wants to know, how is it that you know me, but you don't know me? And I was mad again. And I go outdoors, and I start walking home. I live in Ogden. Okay? I'm walking home. I'm mad. I had just quit smoking cigarettes. I'm buying me some cigarettes on the way too. Okay? So it takes me a while to realize, you know, they say there's head knowledge and there's heart knowledge. After that, there was a time where that I came home and Jesse was trying to have a light conversation with me, kind of joking around a little bit. And I told her, I've had it up to here. I'm done. I've had it. Don't joke with me. Don't mess with me. And I went across the street to get some vegetables and stuff for a pot roast that we had in the oven. We were going to have a Bible study. By the way, good attitude to have for a Bible study, you know. So I had a bad day at school. I've had it up to here. I go to the store. I get my groceries and stuff. I'm in a better mood. I'm walking back across the street. And all of a sudden, I see a car turn the corner. And I'm like, I really don't effing need this right now. And then the car hits me. Hit me right here in the knee. Jesse and Zen comes rushing down to the hospital to check up on me. Good news is, I just had bruises and a tiny little fracture. The best news is that when the car hit me, I heard the impact, but it felt like somebody scooped me up and held me. They said that when the car hit me, I rolled up on the hood of the car, my head hit the windshield, my back hit the side mirror, and I fell on the road. I don't remember a bit of that. I didn't feel any of that pain. What I felt was somebody scoop me up and lay me down. To me, that's God. Because there's nothing else that can do that. Okay? If you bear with me just one moment, I'm almost done here. I want to share a couple things with you. And the only reason why I'm doing this is because I really want you guys to understand the anger that I felt. Because I hope you guys don't feel this anger. And if you do, I hope that you ask to get help past this anger. Okay? This is a book that I shared with Jesse a while back. This is my past. Okay? I'm going to read two quick poems to you. One of them is called Waiting. And this has to do with where I was mad at somebody else. It says, rage impending the mind, lost, no place to find. Control floating in the breeze. The spirit knows no meaning of free. Existing in a world of unknown, searching for a place called home. No whispers, no cries, no prints where feet lie. Drift in time and space, tongue that is laced. Sound deafening to thought, no voice is sought. Patience and reason to hold, in time the story is told. No one should feel that angry. No one. Okay? The other one I'd like to share with you, it's called Haunting Nights. It says, running from the wails of demons past into the dark and clouded night fast, stumbling and crawling in the murk, sensing each phantom that closely lurks, hiding in the shadows of the moon, waiting, listening for the next move, lost in a maze, no way out, surrounded by a decay so foul, lunging from one shadow to the next, lost like a soul with no rest. That's where I stood. During my time in the military, during my time trying to find my life, okay? And then I come here. You want to know what I found? This is what I found. Chris, the next verse, please. Colossians 3, 1 through 14. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground. My little blinders. Absorb with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, Your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth. You will show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. Don't have to be flashy. Don't have to show off. Don't have to be anything other than what you are. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity. No more one-night stands. No more involving yourself in other relationships. It's hard enough dealing with one. Okay? Impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it. Can't be a teenager no more. And grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper? Still working on that. Irritability? Really got to work on that. Meanness? I hope I'm not as mean as I used to be. Profanity? Occasionally. Dirty talk? I don't even remember what that is. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in a fire. Okay? Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with this label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. I'm not in a dress. Okay? Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. For now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength. Quiet strength. Think on that one for a minute. Discipline. Be even-tempered. Content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. Okay, if I could stop here for a minute. Remember I told you my dad used to tell me that I'm still praying for you, kid, and I'd be mad at him? It got to the point that I finally told my dad, you know what, Dad? That's great. I can use all the prayers I can get. Please pray for me. It didn't matter what he was praying about. It's the fact that he prayed for me and God would take care of it in his own way. Not the way my dad wanted, not the way I wanted, the way God wanted. Okay? It helped change mine and my dad's relationship. Just that little bit of an attitude adjustment for me. Okay? It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. The next verse or verses just goes along with that. It says, what this adds up to then is this. No more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel or revenge. Okay? I don't like what you're doing. Okay. I don't like it. Doesn't mean that I go tell everybody that you're doing this, you're doing that. I don't like it. Go to God. God, I don't like what she's doing. God, I don't like what he's doing. He says something nasty to me. I don't like it. Go tell God. Either he will work on that person or he will work on you to help you with that person. Okay. And don't stay angry. Oops. Don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Okay? Did you used to make ends meet by stealing? Well, no more. Get an honest job so that you can help others who can't work. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Okay. Now, if I can just share one more thing with you. Okay, remember I told you that this book is my history, it's my past. It's a lot of the anger that lived in me. Now I write something new, and I want to share one of those with you. It's called Call on Me, I Am Here. I am here and I see you. I am pleased with your progress and delight in your achievements. I enjoy your conversations and listening to how your day is. The very details of what you see and feel is praise to my ears. I long for you to share more with others and me. When you convey to them what you see and learn, then you are conveying me. I long for you to feast at my table with me and know where you belong. You are my child, and I am pleased with you. I will dry your tears and soothe your pain. I will fill you with joy and calm the storms that engulf you. I hold you in my arms and let you know how much I love you. There is more to you than what you feel or see. I am you, and you are I, when you believe and receive freely. When you rest in me, there is no one who can destroy you. Your faith is strong in me. You can resist all that comes against you. I am here for you, and all you have to do is call on me. Now, before I read this last verse, when the verse is over with, I'm going to ask Chris to play a song for you guys. And I would like for you to just take and listen to it closely, please. When service is over with, if anybody wants a special prayer, there will be me and a couple other people who will be waiting around. So just come look for us. Okay. This is something that I wrote while listening to a bunch of songs, Christian songs, and just waiting and listening for God. The verse that follows says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Amen. I stand here before you today to tell you, all these years later, I'm willing to stand up and teach my people. And it's not just gay people. It's not straight people. It's people who are in my life. Amen. And I thank you all for being here.